Hi, I'm Dr. Caroline Leaf and welcome to my podcast, Cleaning Up the Mental Mess. Today, I'm going to be talking about something that will really help you clean up your mental mess and improve your mental health, something that is so important for all of us, as we know, something we all battle with. It's okay to be a mess. We're all messy. And understanding the difference between thoughts and memories is such a great way of helping to clean up the mental mess. A thought is made of memories. They're different. The memories are the data inside the thought, and understanding this difference and the fact that we can actually be empowered to change the memories that the thought is made of basically gives us the ability to increase our autonomy and control over that thought. So I know you're going to benefit so much from this. And if you're listening to this, you are currently not on the NeuroCycle app and will only be hearing the first half of this conversation. So in order to hear the full episode, you will need to subscribe to the NeuroCycle app where you can listen to the full episode in the NeuroLive section of the app. And you can watch and listen to this podcast ad-free. So join me as we dive in today to thoughts and memories. You are working using the NeuroCycle to work on a toxic thought. So a thought is something that's a whole concept and it's made up of memories. So the very first thing that you need to understand is that thoughts are made of memories. Memories are the details of the thoughts. What is a thought made from? A thought is made from the experiences that you have. So we are having experiences from the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep, from the time we're born till the time that we die. We are having experiences. And it's our mind that actually grabs and filters those experiences into the storage part of our mind, into the storage part of our brain, and into the storage part of every cell of our body. So the mind takes every experience and puts it into three places, in three different formats. And that's called your psychoneurobiological network. And that's essentially what a thought is. It's this complex network of an experience. Now we know that an experience is never just one thing. It's a concept with a lot of details. So let me give you a simple example. This NeuroLive is about the difference between thoughts and memories. That was the title of this NeuroLive. So the title of this thought that you are actually growing into your mind, brain and body as you're listening to me is the difference between a thought and memories. So that's the name of the thought. But now the words that I'm saying, the details that I'm giving you, those are the memories that you are building, that you're building into that thought. So you name it, and then you basically, as I'm talking, you actually are going to be building the thought. The words that I am saying are what we would call the root memories, the origin, the source. Where does the experience come from? What is the start point? And so that's the roots. So exactly like a plant, the seed would be the equivalent of the title of this NeuroLive. So the difference between thoughts and memories would be the seed. As I start speaking, the seed is growing into all the root memories. Then each and every one of you thinks in your own unique way. No two people think in the same way. Okay, we've all got our own unique way that we see the world. And we understand this. We hear about uniqueness all the time. So because of that, everything that I am saying is going to be processed differently for each of you because you think differently. So the roots are the same that are going in, but the way you are understanding it, the way you're processing it, the way you're thinking about it, that's different for each of you. And then that produces the branches. So like you put the seed in the ground, as you saw the name of the NeuroLive, as I'm starting to talk, those are the details of the NeuroLive. And then as I'm talking, the same time as I'm giving you these root details, which are the same for all of you, each of you is uniquely processing, which is the trunk, and building the branches, which is how you understand what you're hearing me say. So the trunk part is helping you process. It's your processing, and it's your unique processing, your unique thinking, and it is influenced by all the experiences you've already had that are related to this. So your non-conscious mind will be searching through all your memory, all your thoughts, with all their embedded memories to find anything that is linked to this. So most likely the thoughts that are popping up in your mind as I'm talking now are your experiences that you're having with the neurocycle, the thoughts that you're working on, the thoughts you want to work on, the steps of the neurocycle, memories that are popping up, maybe light bulbs going on that are making you realize that, understand the difference between the memories, which are the detail or the data of the actual thought, and so on. So all of those, if you can see them, they're almost like a filter, and then become like a filter or a lens through which you then produce the branches. So how you understand the stuff passes through this filter of your processing, which is influenced by your existing experiences. Okay, so now let me show you some images quickly, or some props. I've got a couple of props here. So in your mind, the way that the mind stores the thought is going to be like a waveform, a complicated waveform. So if you think of maybe if you've ever seen an EKG or an ECG or an EEG or a QEEG, or even if you look on your podcasts, if you're watching a podcast and you see as a person's talking, the sound goes up and down. So that kind of visual is how you can imagine this conversation is being stored in your mind. At the same time, it is building into your brain as a tree-like structure. So a tree-like structure. So I've got this little plant here as a prop, and it's got a broken part on it. So let me turn it this way around. And so the, in the brain, it looks like a tree-like structure. In the brain, it is made of proteins and chemicals and various other neurotransmitters and so on, and genes and all that sort of thing. And in the mind, it's gravitational fields and electromagnetic light waves, that kind of stuff. Okay. And in your body, the memory is stored as like a little rolled beaded carpet. So if you can imagine a whole lot of little beads and new tiny little beads and you're threading them along a string and you've got rows and rows of these and you roll them up, that is kind of like a good visual for what the thought with its memories. The thought would be the little rolled up carpet, and each little bead would be the detail of what I'm saying. And that's how it's stored in every cell of your body. So that's the complex network that forms a thought. Waves, trees, and little rolled up beaded carpets. Okay. So if it's a good thought that you're building, which is this information is good, you're going to have a nice healthy looking thought tree. You're going to have nice healthy gravitational fields and waves and things, and you're going to have nice healthy rolled up carpets. But if it's a toxic experience, then it's going to look like a toxic tree. So that means that the waves are not going to be all nice and healthy. The thought tree, the proteins are all distorted. And enfolded incorrectly, and there's inflammation and the wrong balance of chemicals and all that kind of thing. And in the body, the little carpets are unrolling. I have been a big fan of Boncharge's amazing products for a while now, and I'm so excited to share with you about their amazing infrared sauna blanket. If you've been following me for a while, you know how I love using the infrared sauna for my mental health. However, I'm always traveling for work and often don't have access to a sauna when I need one to decompress and de-stress. This is why I love Boncharge's infrared sauna blanket. It works by raising your heart rate to that of physical exercise, so it burns calories whilst you relax and de-stress. You can burn up to 600 calories in just one session. It also helps flush out heavy metals and other toxins, supporting your mind, body, and health. Plus, using an infrared sauna also helps release endorphins, which can leave you feeling euphoric after your session. It's an all-round mood booster. The Boncharge infrared sauna blanket works by using infrared light, which heats up the body directly rather than the air around you like a traditional sauna. This means you get the same benefits at a lower heat. You also do not need to have your head in the heat like a traditional sauna. I love how easy it is to use and clean, and how it takes around a minute to set up. It's also super sleek and lightweight, which makes it great to travel with. Plus, the Boncharge infrared sauna blanket is made with a vegan leather and comes with free shipping and an easy returns policy with a 30-day free trial period. So, make 2024 the year you experience less stress and more relaxation, even when you're on the go. Go to boncharge.com/Dr. Leaf and use the coupon code LEAF to save 15% on your infrared sauna blanket. That's boncharge.com/leaf and use the coupon code LEAF to save 15%. The link and details will be in the show notes. Okay. So the thought then is the whole concept, and the thought is made of memories. The memories are the data of the concept. So if you're working on one thing, one thought, because one, a few of you asked this question. If you're working on one thought, so many other thoughts keep popping in your mind. What's generally, when you focus on one thought, the thoughts that are popping up into your mind will be predominantly the memories that are related to that thought. So you're trying to unpack and find all the memories of that thought. So, for example, as you're working on this, you're trying to find all these branch memories, which are how you've interpreted this situation, and taking you down to how you got there, how you process it, what other thoughts at this level influence this kind of thinking, this lens, and then getting down to the root thoughts. So you are embracing, processing, and reconceptualizing, which is a deconstruction, reconstruction process. So we want to find this, we want to open this up and make it weak, and dig down to your thinking, dig down to the roots, heal the roots, and then reconstruct it. Okay. So that's kind of the process of the neurocycle. So now let me give you a practical example of what this actually looks like. And I just want to quickly address again, when you're working on a thought and lots of other thoughts come up, as I mentioned, the lots of other thoughts that come up, they will be the thoughts at this level, the branch level, the processing level. So other experiences around this that have influenced how you've seen the situation. And also a lot of those might be connected in some way that, and maybe an extra, some other area in your life that needs to be addressed. So maybe you're addressing something related to a specific relationship, but you recognize as you are doing this process of the neurocycle and these other thoughts come up, do you realize that actually this has impacted another relationship, or it's impacted how you actually view yourself or something like that. So those other big thoughts that come up, when other thoughts come up, what you need to do is ask yourself the question, thoughts that I've had that I am drawing on to help me try to understand and process this information? In which case you can write them down somewhere in your neurocycle journal. Just write them down so you make a note of whatever pops up. That's what the metacog is so great for. On your metacog, you could have a little line coming out of your metacog that says thoughts that keep popping up. And then also you need a question. Is it a whole thought, or is it the actual detail of the current thought? So it takes a little bit of practice to distinguish between whether it's memories, and then whether it's the memories that are the details of how you're functioning in the current context of the thought, or if it's the taking you down to the details of the source or the origin of why you're showing up in the way that you are. Because your thought is the experience you've had, and the thought gets embedded into the network, and the thought drives how we show up. So a toxic experience becomes a toxic network, becomes a toxic influence in your life. And what we're doing with the neurocycles, finding those and deconstructing them and fixing them up. You can't get rid of them, but you can fix them and make them healthy. And that's what we're doing. So let's look at an example, because it's always, I think, easier to look at it as an example. So if I glance down, just because I've got the example written out in front of me, and I will just be keep me more focused. Okay, so let's say that you're working on something that's extremely common, something that all of us have probably worked on at some stage in our life, and that is low self-worth or low self-esteem. So let's say that as you started the neurocycle, your thought was low self-esteem. Now, that's a big general category, because low self-esteem related to what? Is it just in one particular area of your life? Is it in all areas of your life? Is it related to something specific? You may not see that as you start. You may just have the word low self-esteem, or not feeling worthy, as the name of your thought. And that's okay, because at day one, and I know you guys already, some of you already on day 14, if you started with me at the beginning of the year with the detox challenge, doesn't matter where you are, but generally at day one, day two, day three, you may not have huge clarity on the detail of the thought. But as you work and progress through the neurocycle, the days of the neurocycle, you'll get more clarity on that thought. So when you start writing down the name of your thought, you can write it down, and then you can expand on it. So either it's in the middle of your page, as you work in the neurocycle, you draw the circle in the middle of the page, and then you write down low self-esteem. And then maybe by day three, you're recognizing it's low self-esteem in all areas of my life. And then that's still quite broad. So maybe by day four, it's low self-esteem related specifically to interacting with people in a social situation. So you see, you're getting a little bit more description around what that issue is, and that helps you to narrow it down. But that just takes time. Unfortunately, there is no quick fix for the mind. A couple of people ask the question, why does this take so long? Well, the network that's formed from an experience and the impact of an experience on your life became part of you physically and mentally. And it gets, and the more you think about it, the more it grows and gets established and gets entangled and entrenched. And the longer it's there, the more we think about it, the more it's triggered, the more it's activated, the more it's you use it, the more it drives you. And if it's been there for longer than about 9 weeks, it's become very entrenched that it's become a habit. And a habit is something that's hard to break, as we know. And you don't break habits in 21 days. That is why NeuroCycle is 63 days. To break a toxic thought and to find all of its embedded memories, get down to the root and to redesign this, this is going to take time. You know, there isn't a quick fix for mind. There isn't a pill to take away something like an experience that you've had. You're not a damaged brain if you're feeling anxiety or feeling low self-esteem. That doesn't mean you have a damaged brain. It does mean that your brain has been impacted, but that's not the cause, that's the effect. And so it's going to take time to unwind that, and you have to go through it. And we unfortunately live in a day and age where we are kind of almost told that there's a pill for every ill. You know, that's sort of as the medical model has become more dominant, there's this feeling of go to the doctor, I feel sad, let me get a pill. But we've got to recognize that the mind is not just this biological component. The mind is driving the whole brain and body, and the mind has got different parts, and the mind actually makes the brain and the body work, and there's a very complex network between it. So we can't just, it's not just that there's a piece missing or a piece broken and you can put a piece back. So unfortunately, like healing from a surgery or healing from an accident or healing or trying to learn how to play a musical instrument or learning or going to the gym, those all take time. And we get it. You're not going to become good at yoga if you go once, or become a pro athlete if you go once, or you know that. It's like so logical. But when we feel uncomfortable, when our thoughts make us feel uncomfortable, we want to do everything to feel comfortable. So that sort of drive to remove that discomfort of that discomforting thought is very strong. And this is, but if you just take, something to numb it, maybe in the moment it'll help you, but at some point you're going to have to deal with it because it's not going anywhere. It's just going to get bigger because you're always changing. And this is the thing about thoughts with their memories. They're dynamic. They're active, they're volcanic in nature, and they are never going anywhere. Once you've had an experience and it's become established, it's part of you. It's part of who you are. So, with this NeuroCycle, you're looking at who you are and who you have become and finding out who you truly are and deciding, do I want that as part of how I function? And this is the beauty of the NeuroCycle driving neuroplasticity. You can change your thought. You can't change what's happened to you, but you can reconstruct them, deconstruct and reconstruct them so that you can change how you function in the future. Okay, so coming back to our example, low self-esteem, let's say that that's the name of the thought. So now let's say that the roots were, I'm going to start with the roots. Let's say that I'm going to tell the story as though it's a story to help you understand the structure. So let's say that as a child, you were an only child and you had parents that were quite distant, that maybe they both worked or something, didn't get on so well. Maybe there was a divorce and there was not much emotional support for you. And the only time you really got the kind of attention that you were craving and that we deserve as children growing up was potentially when you did really well at school, or you did really well when you were very young, maybe did a really nice drawing. In other words, when you achieve something that got you a reward. Otherwise, potentially maybe your parents were very distant and you didn't totally, as a child, you don't understand that. All you think is that there's something maybe wrong with me. Why are my parents distant? Why are the people that I, these aren't words that are going through a child's head, but this is what is inside of your psyche. Inside of your mind-brain-body connection is that your basic needs are not being met. And then you're an only child, so you don't have siblings to connect with. you're not developing, potentially didn't develop the ability to connect that well with other people because you're not getting enough practice at home. I mean, that's where we learn to interact and to solve problems and to talk and make friends and connect and to communicate. And so that's not happening. That's missing from the development. So the roots here is that, let's say that this particular fictitious person, I'm going to call it Brainy. Brainy is the character I created in my children's book, How to Help Your Children Clean Up Their Mental Mess. If you want to know more about that, you can actually go to my website or even in the app, you'll see there's a link to that. And let's say that now Brainy, take a neutral person. Brainy has got this low self-esteem, and that's how Brainy grew up. And also being that this loneliness, the part of these roots where each day this happened, each day there's more and more added each day because your brain is always changing, because your mind is always changing, because your experience is always being added to and changing. So regardless of whether you like it or not, nothing's stagnant in your mind-brain-body connection. So there's every day that this is not being resolved, every day that there's another connection or communication, more details, more memories are built onto here of a poor connection with a parent. And then maybe they at school, because you don't know how to connect, then you're kind of the odd one and you don't make friends and you become lonely at school. And the only time you get attention is maybe when you do well, and then the teachers pay you attention, but the kids tease you. All of each of those incidents is being added to this root. So this thing's becoming bigger and bigger. And let's say this goes on for years and you move into adolescence. This is this is longer than 9 weeks. This is an established pattern. And if it never gets addressed, it moves into adolescence, which can create, you know, as we know, all kinds of other problems that lead to adulthood. And so that translates as you're moving on. Okay. So that's the roots. Now, each time, let's say now, let's come back to this detail here. So now let's take an incident of a child who draws a little picture and goes to the parent and, you know, shows the parent the picture and the parent just pushes them away. So that's now a detail that's added. This is added to it. That's built in. It's wired in, that experience of being rejected. And then maybe you feel sad and you feel hungry or feel tired and cry and get shouted at. And that experience gets provided in here by shouted at. I can't have needs. If I cry, I get shouted at. And if you don't cry, then you won't get shouted at. And so these experiences happen. Now that thinking of, if I don't cry, I won't get shouted at. If I don't meet my needs, I won't get shouted at. So this over here is the part that's processing. So it's interpreting. It's creating the filter and the lens. So if I do that, if that happens, then that will happen. So this is the part that's saying that if that happens, if I respond like that, then this is going to happen. That's all happening over here. The thinking that went on at that time. And this is why when we do inner child work, we're kind of going back to that level where we're seeing, you know, that's how I was thinking at the time. I was thinking that when my parent rejected me, or when my friend, the kids at school laughed at me, I actually saw that as something I deserve. So my self-talk, the branches are growing out of the roots. This transforms the roots into the experience. So this is the way we start getting into the experience is through the four signals. So the first thing is that the rejection from the parent makes you sad. So the emotion makes you maybe get a sudden increase in heartbeat rate. Heartbeats faster. So that's bodily sensation. The behavior, maybe withdraw, pull back, go quieter. And then perspective, I'm bad. And so that is the four signals that are going to come from this trunk. And then that plays out in self-talk. The only way I can please my parents is if I do well. I need to keep quiet and not have any needs or show my needs, or I get shouted at. I'm unworthy. No one wants to play with me at school. No one wants to be my friend in college. I'm laughed at. My work colleagues don't want to go out with me because I don't know how to talk to them because I act weird. So those are all so underneath the four signals, these branches, these memories here are all the ways that this is playing out in your mind and therefore showing up in your life. Okay. So the trunk is our processing, our filter, our lens through which you see the incoming experiences and translate the incoming experiences into the four signals and then the detail of the four signals, which is the self-talk, how you interact with people, how you go into the world, how you present yourself, how you hold your facial expression, how you use your tone of voice, how you view each person's response to you. It's all coming through, those details are coming through the filter of this whole tree. So the trunk is your processing, the lens, and this lens here is influenced by previous experiences. So there's one main one of the rejection, but now maybe there is another thought, not maybe there will, because there's multiple interactions with a parent, say, for example, growing up. Well, here's the one at the school, here's the one with the daycare, here's the one with the father. So these may be 4, 5, or 6, or 10 different ones that are connected at the root and that are influencing this part. And each one needs to be dealt with, but you'll deal with one at a time. So for 21 days, you're dealing with one at a time, and the other ones that are coming up frequently over the 21 days, and you've distinguished them as thoughts, you're going to write those down, and then you're going to knock those off one at a time from the topmost to the bottom. And very often as you think something's a thought, when you start working through, you'll see, oh, actually, it's not a thought. It's actually memories within this thought. Well, that belongs here. And what might become 10 thoughts that you seem to feel like you're working on or reduce down to 3 or 4. But that comes as you're working through the neurocycle. Now, please, at first, you're going to feel totally lost. And some of you are already saying that. And it's okay, because whatever you're doing is helping you. Just the mere fact that you are gathering awareness of your emotional and physical and bodily sense and behavioral and perspective warning signals is already doing a great job. The fact that you're doing the brain preparation, the fact that you're trying to metacog, the fact that you're trying to make sense with the recheck and trying to get some sort of action. It's okay if you do it all wrong, because you will eventually get it right. So it's very important that you don't, that you're not hard on yourself. And that's why, I'm doing these webinars to try and, pull this apart for you more to be able to help you. Do you have trouble recalling names, dates, or where you left things? Are you finding it difficult to focus during the day or notice yourself zoning out when you're trying to complete a task? Wouldn't it be nice to feel clear-minded and energized? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should listen to this. BioOptimizers has created a one-of-a-kind product called Mushroom Breakthrough that can support your brain power. It's packed with highly concentrated mushroom extracts that science shows can enhance memory, focus, processing speed, and more. Just one serving contains 5 potent superfoods, collagen, and 1.2 pounds of 4 concentrated mushrooms, including lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps, and chaga. This cutting-edge blend is a powerful way to help support your brain health and rewire it for maximum energy, focus, and performance. And with Mushroom Breakthrough, you'll get a hefty dose of antioxidants for immune support. On top of these incredible benefits, it's also delicious. It tastes like a rich chocolate elixir. I love having it at night as an alternative to hot chocolate. It's really delicious. Simply mix it with water or milk and enjoy. Or for a more potent blend, you can mix with your morning coffee to transform it into a delicious mood-boosting mocha. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to biooptimizers.com/Dr. Leaf and use the code DrLeaf10 during checkout. And the great thing about BioOptimizers is that you can take it risk-free with their 365-day money-back guarantee. So head on over to biooptimizers.com/Dr. Leaf and use the breakthrough code DrLeaf10 for your special mushroom breakthrough offer. The link and details will be in the show notes. Okay, so the trunk then influences how you process. It's the filter through how this is translated into that. So this is distorted, that's distorted, and that's distorted. And what we're doing with the neurocycle is we're embracing this distortion to see what the distortion is and to tell the truth, to reconceptualize. Okay, this is what's happened. What is the truth? That I'm not a bad person. That people pleasing, which I do now as an adult, actually did all the way through my life, which makes me very resentful, frustrated, is not coming from me as a bad person. It's coming from this experience. This is how I process that. That was my coping mechanism in the time that got me through that moment, but it's not sustainable in the long run. That's the sort of work that you're doing with the neurocycle. But you're not going to discover it all in one day. You need the full 21 days to unpack and get down to the root area and start reconstructing. And then the second 42 days is you want to stabilize what you have worked on. the biggest mistake that people make, that I've made, that my patients have made, that, and even me with developing the system, is trying to work on too many things at once. And that's why I'm stressing and giving you the visual analogy of when you have an experience, it activates existing thoughts to help you understand and process. And we need to make the distinction between those thoughts and this thought that we're working on, and the memories, which are the source memories, and how it's playing out in our life in terms of our behaviors and all those things, and the detail of our behaviors in our life, and those details which we want to work on at one thing at a time. So if you're trying to work on, let's say you start maybe working, if this is something related to you and you see your self-esteem is related to childhood, maybe the first thought you're working on is your relationship with your mother. Then the second one is your relationship with your father. And then the second one might be the relationship that you had with a grandparent, which was maybe a great relationship that looks like this. And you actually can start focusing and referencing on this and seeing and using this to help heal that. And then maybe it's related to how you constantly people please. And that might be a whole different thought that you need to work on. And so you'll go through the cycle as you're going through. And there's no time limit on this. This is why it's so important not to be too hard on yourself in terms of how long this takes. There's no cookie cuts. I can't tell you that if you have low self-esteem that you're going to get this right in one neurocycle. What I can tell you is that one neurocycle is certainly going to open your eyes to the reasons why you have low self-esteem and get you to a point where you can actually, maybe in one whole 9-week neurocycle, you realize that the low self-esteem came from the fact that you had this rejection in childhood. And that you actually realize that you are worthy, and that one of your active reaches was to actually talk to your parents and sit down and for them to give you their perception, and them to, and maybe you hear from them and you a whole lot of information about, we're so sorry, we didn't realize we were having our own marital problems. Therefore, you know, you just were such an easy child. So we didn't need, so you hear another perspective. So you can start growing, and by doing that, you get, that's another experience. It's a healthy experience that then becomes connected to this and helps you heal this one. So there's the first 21 days is to try and find one core issue to work on. And if you see these multiple, as I say, split them up. And then when you get to the end of the 21 days, you may just have all you may have realized when you realize the rejection thing, like I've described, but maybe you realize that all you're going to have to get right first is that you actually are worthy of love. That may be the first thing that you just need to spend time on, that you know the reason now, you can see it comes from childhood, you can see the self-esteem issues, and you know there's a bunch of other stuff and you're going to work on them. But for now, for the next 42 days, you are going to build into your brain, you're going to stabilize, you're going to automatize and get yourself to actually believe that you are worthy. Because just saying you're worthy 20 times over is not going to do the trick. You had to find where it came from, and then you have to actually build that into your networks. And that's what the second 42 days are for. You're building each day as you have an active reach statement, as you move into the second 42 days, those memories within that active reach statement, and that active reach statement is also a memory made of more memories. Those are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So this is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and this is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And eventually, that's tiny. I'm trying to get it so that you can see just a teeny part of it. Let me make it even lower. You see, it's just peeking out. So now this big green thing is now, I am worthy. I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of relationships. I'm worthy of having work colleagues invite me out for a drink. And I'm worthy of having a partner, and I'm worthy of being listened to. And I'm worthy of saying no when someone wants to do something with me. And this little part poking its head up just a teeny bit, even there's still too much there, is the part that told you that you were unworthy and not worth, unworthy, and because of the rejection. But that's not who you are now. That was the reason that you're showing up like that. But now it's weak. So you remember what it was, but it's no longer driving you. This is driving you. But if you don't work on the thought and grow the strength of that thought and the memories embedded within that thought, the good one, the healthy one, over the next 42 days, it's in one tree, and it's at day 21, you've got them equal. So if I stop here, danger zone, with working on my thoughts with their embedded memories, I'm going to revert back. You are going to fall back and you're going to get very frustrated. And that's what happens so much in people, you know, reaching out for help and that kind of thing, is that they feel so mad. I'm so used to, I can't even get this right. You can get it right. What generally people don't understand is that if you stop it around day 21, anywhere from 18 to sort of 30 days in that range, okay, it's around the sort of 21 is the middle of the mark. You are going to have a massive dip soon after. And what that dip means is that this thing gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And unfortunately, this is what happens. This becomes strong again. And I see this part over here is now, I remember that I actually almost got it right, but look where I am again. So I'm not worthy. So we've got to be aware of that. And that's why I'm so hot on these 63 days. Okay. So quick summary. Thoughts are the concept, experience. The experience is represented as a thought. An experience becomes a thought stored in your mind, brain, and body. Mind as waves, brain as trees, body as these little rolled up carpets. This is a healthy thought. That's an unhealthy thought. The thought is made of memories. So the memories are the details of the experience. The memories are all the things I'm saying now. The memories are all the ways you reacted and the source of what happened. Okay. And so the memories are inside the thought tree. As you do the neurocycle, those memories are going to be activated. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to go through your head. And that's where you go through that 5-step process. And the metacog's a great place to capture all these things that are all over the place. That's what it is. It's a mind dump. And it's a great place to capture all that stuff. And then the recheck is to sort that out. And very often you'll say, oh, okay, this is memories inside this thought. That's another thought. I'll work on that later. You know, those are the sorts of things that you can look for, those kinds of patterns you can look for as you're doing the metacog. I hope you found today's podcast interesting and helpful. If you want more tips and help with managing anxiety, depression, and mental health, be sure to visit my website at drleaf.com and to sign up for my weekly newsletter, where I also include a schedule of my speaking events and so much more. And follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just look for Dr. Caroline Leaf. Also, I love seeing all your posts on social media about this podcast. I love seeing what resonates with you and what you've learned. So be sure to continue posting and tagging me and letting me know what you think and how these tips worked out for you. And don't forget, leave a review and keep spreading the word about this podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I really hope you learned something new and helpful. Till then, I'm Dr. Caroline E. This podcast represents the opinions of myself and my guest. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. The content here is for educational and informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional for any individual medical questions you may have. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we are sharing is accurate, we welcome any comments, suggestions, or corrections of errors.